sort of been called many things, but it's basically the prelude to the summer. It's probably the earliest that we dare try to have an outdoor concert in this climate.
That's right. And this one is the Summer Sounds Concert. And I was going to ask, this is now an annual tradition, but it didn't used to be. So how many of these have you done?
I don't know. I wonder if we have, as you know, we have some other guests here, and I think Heather might remember, but I'd say it's 7 or 8
years, I think, that you've been doing the summer one. So, well, I really enjoy them, and so it's something that I do put on my calendar.
We have some regular attendees. Mm-hmm. They like the idea of starting the summer that way.
Exactly. Yeah. So let's now. You folks have met you. You've been on Art Zany Radio many times.
95.1, the one.
Good morning and welcome to the Radio Wrap here on KYMN 95.1 The One and AM 1080. Just trying to get through the old program here. Not exactly sure what was done last week. I was gone in my absence. Yeah, I know. I had to take a little day off and go out and have a little fun like some of the boys always have a tendency to do. So basically, my objective here this morning is to present to you part of the Raider scoreboard that we normally do. But I just want to remind everyone that studio at kymnradio.net is the email address that you can send your information over to. If you got a question for anybody, you can certainly do that. You can send that over to us, and we'll be more than happy to get you on the air or do something of that nature. And basically, just shoot an email, any email. We're going to have Sherry Satchel will be on the program, who did the most recent play, The Great Gatsby, will be on the program today. We'll have a recap of Ben Geiger, the announcement coming shortly after the state tournament, which should have probably been top priority news for the area, considering it is one of 22 people in the entire area, in the entire state of Minnesota, to actually make the under-17 team. So we're going to have him on here hopefully today as well. So again, lots of cool stuff coming up. The Raider scoreboard will coming up in just a minute, and then we will, of course, get Sherry on the program for you here this morning. So currently, we are going to take a quick look at the Raider scoreboard coming up here in just a minute. I believe Grant's Selco will have our Raider scoreboard scores and highlights. You know what I mean? Stuff that's been going on throughout the Northfield area in the past several days. Always a pleasure getting some news and information up to date, along with the girls' track team did outstanding performances over the week, the Big Nine Conference. The JV was on Monday, but they only made it through a couple of events before that got canceled. And then over the rest of the week, the main varsity team was able to get out there and get running. They took fourth overall in the Big Nine, which, that's kind of where they're ranked. They're ranked to probably the top four in there in that area. So hopefully they're going to get a few people going and maybe even make it to the state. They're going to show up high this next week. Hopefully, like Friday, I believe, is the 29th. Thursday is the 29th, excuse me. So the 29th of May, they will be performing, and they will be over in Faribault, I believe, and they're going to be doing the section finals over there. So hopefully they get a few good looks at everything. So in the 1600, Makaya Patrika took first place in the 1600. Shot put was Alina French. She did okay. High jump was Amber Mahal. We had a couple second places in there. We got Emily Beham took a second. Makaya took a second in the 800 meter. And then the pole vault, Anna Gottfried. It was 9'7". Nice jump for second place. And then a couple of mentions there. Anna Forbord and Addison Enfield taking fourth and fifth place in the sections there, but they had enough qualifying time to help keep them moving forward. So what else is new in the Raider scoreboard? Let's find out with Grant Selko.
Good morning, Raider Nation, and welcome back to this week's Raider Wrap. I'm your host, Grant Selko, and you are listening to the scoreboard. The boys lacrosse team had one game this week. They faced off against the Eagan Wildcats for their senior night this Thursday. The Raiders put a beating on the Wildcats, winning 19-3. Senior Landon Raleigh had a huge game for his last on Memorial Field with a 7-goal performance. The Raiders have yet to see what team they will play for the first round of the section playoffs. The girls lacrosse team had two games this week, with the first one being at Rochester Male. The Spartans took the win on this matchup 18-6. The girls' second game was also senior night versus Rochester Century. The Raiders also took a loss this game 15-9. The girls have yet to also see who they will be playing for the section playoffs. The baseball team was going to have two games this week, but their matchup against Byron was canceled. They did, however, face off against Rochester Century later in the week. This game was as low scoring as it gets, but the Raiders took the win over the Panthers 1-0. Their final game of the season will be against the Faribault Falcons today. The softball team had their section playoffs this week on Thursday. Their first matchup was against Faribault. The Raiders easily took care of the Falcons, winning this one 13-2. In the quarterfinal, the Raiders took on Byron. The Raiders lost this game in a heartbreaking fashion with a 5-4 loss. They did, however, win their elimination game versus Red Wing 11-1. Congrats on the softball team for an impressive season. The boys and girls track teams both competed in the Big Nine Conference meet in Albert Lea. On the boys' side, they got 8th overall. Some of their highlights include Savion Severson barely taking second in the 100-meter dash by a 5/1000th of a second. Jason Aldorfer took 4th in the mile. Isaac Schleif took 3rd in the 800-meter. Stephen Feig getting 2nd in the pole vault. And the 4x4 team taking 3rd overall. On the girls' side, they got 4th overall, and here are some of their highlights. Makaya Patrico won the mile race by 5 seconds. Emily Beham got second in the 300-meter hurdles. Makaya also got second in the 800. Amber Mahal won the high jump and is now the 4th best time in Minnesota. Ani Gottfried and Kate Wiebe got second and third respectfully on the pole vault. And Alina French won the shot put, putting her throw 4th in the state of Minnesota. That's it for this week's scoreboard on the Raider Wrap. You are listening to KYMN 95.1, The One.
This is Barb from Professional Dental Group, letting you know that the doctors and staff of Professional Dental Group are proud to call themselves Northfield Raiders sports fans. Whether scheduling for an implant, mouth guard, or general visit, we look forward to providing you with the same exceptional care that Professional Dental Group has delivered for over 45 years. So on behalf of Dr. Becky Johnson, Dr. John Nowak, Dr. Brian Cravey, Dr. Tyler Yonke, and Dr. Mallory Peterson, go Raiders!
Hi, this is Kirk Mullenbrook from Merchants Bank. On behalf of our entire community bank team, I'm proud to extend our sincere congratulations to all of this year's graduates from everyone at Merchants Bank. Wherever your dreams take you next, we wish you continued success.
All right, welcome back to the Raider Wrap here. Thank you, Grant, for introducing the Raider scoreboard there. We're just about 8 minutes after 10 o'clock on this Saturday morning, and it's going to be kind of a nice one, I would think. Temperature's at 62 already. We're looking to maybe 66 degrees, plenty of sunshine. Looks like that's kind of the norm that we're going to be seeing here in the next few days is plenty of sunshine. You got to love it, right? It looks like sunshine today. Cooling off to, 44? And then for tomorrow, looks like sunshine, a high of 71. Tomorrow night, mostly clear, cooling off to 46. Memorial Day, obviously, is Monday. For those of you who forgot or just didn't think about it or lost your calendar or whatever the case may be. What a day. 70 degrees. Great day to get out there and pay patronage to all the fallen Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines, Coast Guard, and anybody else that served in the active military that gave their lives for us as well. So we hope you get out and enjoy that on Memorial Day. It's 70 degrees. Ouch. And 20% chance of a shower maybe Monday night. Tuesday looks like some showers coming again. Partly sunny and a high again near 65. But we're at 62. The sun is shining. I got Sherry in the studio. I don't know what more I could possibly... it's euphoria. Sherry, welcome.
Absolutely. Good morning.
How are you?
Good.
What are you doing here? Oh, that's right. I invited you.
Yeah. You called me.
I called you. That's right. I called you. I kind of did. So, was it last week? Last week of this presentation?
Two weeks ago.
Was it two weeks? No.
Yeah, it's
no.
Been, yeah, it was.
I thought that was.
8, 9, and 10.
Oh, my. Has it been that long?
Yeah, it's been a couple weeks since we closed.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
So, The Great Gatsby.
Yes.
That was the play.
Yeah.
So, we talked before. Plenty of weeks before that, a couple, 3 weeks maybe. So you were still trying to finalize things, figure things out.
Yep.
So now that the play is over, right?
Yes.
What does the director do? Do they pat themselves on the back? Do you record that? Do you watch it back? What do you do?
No, I usually, like, I'm not into recording anything. I really like to just have live theater be live theater. Mostly what we do afterward is we do strike, and then we
take the laundry. There it is. Nice. And then we take the laundry to the dry cleaner, and it's a lot of boring kind of administrative stuff, really, afterward. But then we also get to celebrate. We have our drama awards ceremony, which just happened on Thursday.
Is there a
night.
Lot of drama at the drama awards?
This year, actually not.
No drama?
No drama. I mean, all that stuff happens backstage. They get it out of their systems during rehearsal and during performances, and by the time we kind of reconvene back at these lovely celebratory moments, they're a lot more.
When did you go out? We used to go out on the night. It was the final performance, and we all got together that night. Mm-hmm. Or do you put it out in like a week later before you have your cast party, if you will?
They have a cast party usually on Saturday night. They do Applebee's on Friday. There's a whole like lineup. We do a Thursday, Friday, Saturday. So Thursday night, they can't do anything. They get told to go home, go to sleep, get up, make sure to go to school the next morning. Otherwise, I'll get in trouble and I don't want that. I want to keep everybody there happy. And then Friday night, they go to the Bees. And then Saturday, there's usually a cast party at someone's house. And so there was a cast party this time after the show. It was great.
But right after, yeah. So you just head over and do
yes,
whatever.
Yeah.
Did the entire cast show up? Or?
A lot of the cast. I was surprised to see how many people were there. Yeah, sometimes, you know, there's kiddos who are just exhausted. They have to go home, or they have to do something else, or they just aren't, you know, they're not necessarily social. Their social battery is kind of drained after being around a lot of people. But it was a big turnout. It was awesome.
Those are the drama people that I remember. The ones that...
I know, we used to
They
go...
could perform. They could get on stage and they could go like the Energizer Bunny. But yeah, when they're done, I'm going home.
When I was doing high school theater, we didn't really have cast parties, but on Saturday night, we'd go to Rocky Horror. We'd do the midnight show of Rocky Horror. And that
of
was
course
awesome.
You would.
Yes.
Did you go to like... Minnesota State University? Where'd you go?
No, I went to high school in Omaha. So,
okay.
Yeah, we'd go out to the Westroads, the mall out west, and they had one theater that was the crummy theater that they set aside for all of them.
And they still did that. They still did the old midnight deal,
Oh,
huh?
Yeah. They probably used to not
do
anymore.
They used to do it at the Downtown Varsity Theater in Minneapolis for years and years and years.
Oh,
but
yeah,
then
They did it at the Uptown when I was in college.
So they kind of migrated and moved on, apparently, from you know throwing toast at the screen and different things like that. Still a cult classic. Just
100%. I've been in that show twice.
Have you?
Yeah.
Worst movie ever, right?
from a
screenplay.
So many words.
If you rented it on Netflix and just sat home and watched it, it's senseless.
Oh, it is. I actually one of the great stories about my first year of college is I had been to so many midnight shows. I knew all of the lines, every single line, every single song. I, you know, had the tape in my tape deck all the time because I love the music is fantastic. And I was on my, you know, third Dupre, like walking down the hallway, and I heard somebody watching the movie, and and I was like, oh, cool. And I'm like, I'm just going to pop in. And so I stopped in. He's sitting there in his chair, kind of hunched over, looking forward. And I started doing the lines, the callbacks. And he just slowly kind of looks at me like, what are you doing? And I was like, I'm doing the callbacks. Like, don't you know that you're supposed to like yell at the screen while this is happening? And he's looking, he's like, no, I was just watching it.
Right. Just,
yeah,
no.
Yeah. And it turns out now he is one of my best friends. It was this moment of us looking at each other, and he's like, I just like this movie. And I was like, wow, we're going to be friends.
I believe it or not, I guess I'm kind of, you know, labeling myself here, but I was actually, when the movie was released, I actually watched the movie.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. It wasn't until we, you know, 6 months later when we started throwing stuff at the screen that it started to make sense.
Right.
And then it made sense. Then it was the fun movie to go to. Yeah. Even then, before, like I said, Mankato used to have a group of misfits that we used to go to the Rocky Horror Picture Film, and it was nuts. It was every Friday and Saturday night. It was packed. It was packed.
Yep.
And everyone's bringing in all their, you know, gear and you know, different toast and squirt guns and newspapers
and
all
that. Yeah, yeah.
And then the movie was cool, but you still didn't. Yeah. I don't think you. Well, you kind of watched it, but you waited for the cues, and then everyone would scream, and it was fun. Yeah, that was fun. Yeah. Fun stuff. Yeah. But is that going to be our play next year? Come on.
No. You know what? As I said,
you could sell toast at the front door.
I know. I think the administration might have some eyebrows to raise about that.
Think of the money you could raise.
I know. We did it twice at the Guild. I've been in it twice. I was Janet both times, and which was when I was growing up, I wanted so badly to be Magenta. And so I was like, I don't see myself as a Janet. And then it was like, yes, I am. Like, it was great. It was awesome.
So you did The Great Gatsby.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So what's next year's play? Do we know yet?
I do not know what my show will be. I do know that the fall show, we just brought in a new director for the fall show, and she's going to be doing Sense and Sensibility.
Okay.
So, which I think is also amazing. It's one of my favorite books, so I'm very excited about that, and I'm excited to my dear friend and colleague Bob Gregory Bjorklund finally decided to step away from directing in the fall, and so we brought in Kat Middledorp, and I'm really excited. She's a Northfield alum and has been in a lot of shows and has an incredible amount of experience. So I'm really excited to see what she brings to it.
It's kind of interesting. That's an older one, too. It's
Jane Austen.
But it's not that, you know. So they said they released that in 95. Hugh Grant was in that
movie.
One.
I love them. The movie's
Kate
amazing.
Kate Winslet was in that thing.
Yeah.
And along with Emma Thompson, which was a young, very young, star beside Tom Cruise, a lot of different things. I think, isn't Emma the mother? In Back to the Future?
You're thinking of Leah Thompson.
Leah Thompson. Emma Thompson, okay. Yeah. But that is based on an 1811 novel. And it's, what is it? The Dashwood Sisters?
The Dashwoods, yes. Marianne and Eleanor and the littler one, whose name I can't remember off the top of my head. But there's three sisters. And yeah, it's a really lovely story. It's really beautiful. The prose is gorgeous. And yes, it's just a sweet show.
But that one's in fall.
In the fall, yes. That is not my show.
Okay. Yeah. Do you work with it? Do you help it?
In the past, I have gone in and worked with Bob's actors to do physical work and do character development in that way. And I don't know if I'll do that this time. I hope so. I love doing that. So, and I'm hoping to just kind of give some guidance and support to Kat as she comes into her new role there.
Okay, what was she doing beforehand? Maybe we get her in here.
You should bring Kat in. She can tell you her story.
Yeah, where'd she come from? Do you know?
She's from Northfield, and she's been all over. She was just most recently, I think, out in Boston at Boston University getting her master's in opera and vocal performance, and so she has a really an incredible breadth of experience that I'm looking forward to her getting to show off her chops with these kids.
When does the spring play begin?
It's a rock and roll year, so we'll probably have auditions right before spring break happens, and then we'll jump right in after spring break. So it'll be, you know, first or second week of April, we'll be boots on the ground, ready to go.
Are you involved in the rock and roll revival? A little bit? Do you spearhead it?
This is an excellent question. Yes, I've been choreographing Rock and Roll Revival since 2003. And last show was my 12th show, and it is the last show I will do all of the choreography for. So I'm going to be emeritus choreographer this time around. And
does it change? From year to year, to the choreography? You change it up every year?
Yes.
Because isn't it? Well, it is a different theme every year, too, right?
It's a different theme every year. It's different songs every year. And we pick new tunes out. Sometimes I will bring a couple of things back that I did a while ago. That's when we hit kind of the 20th anniversary or whatever it was a few years ago. I started bringing stuff back. And Coudray was sort of like, hey, let's do this again. And I was like, okay, let's do that again. And it doesn't completely get recycled because I do update a lot of it when I do it again. There was one song I had from 2005. From 2005 that we did again this year. And I took maybe two of the pieces of choreography and then tightened it up and redid the whole thing. So usually if I do repeat something, it gets a serious facelift before it goes back in front of people.
Were there already like dance performances and choreography already created for those songs from something that you didn't take from, or you take the song and what do? You just, in your brain, you sit down and you start chicken scratching stick people and you start going, okay, let's see, for 15 seconds, we have a prelude. Here we go. Okay, you know what? I think they should all twirl here. And then they should kick and jump. And then, or how do you, I mean, you listen to a song. Where does the choreography come from?
Oh, there's a lot of different places. There's a lot of ways. I am very much a project manager when it comes to all of my work. So the first thing I do before I listen to the songs a lot. If I can. This time I didn't get a chance to listen to them because we didn't really pick them out until after we auditioned people, so that was a different process. But I put a notebook together that has all of my pieces in it. I listen to every single tune and I mark it out. So I mark like how many counts are in each section. I look at them and I listen to them over and over again, and then I kind of just sit down and start moving. And I'll watch, I spend a lot of time on YouTube watching period appropriate stuff. If it is, like, for example, if it's a Temptations piece, odds are high there's choreography for it already. And the only time I've ever directly lifted any choreography was from the Temptations and from the Gladys Knight and the Pips. So like we did, I heard it through the grapevine a million years ago. So I took that choreography directly from the source when we did.
So you dressed up a bunch of raisins?
Yeah,
and they danced across the stage?
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely.
Wasn't that what that song was about?
Yeah, totally. But the great Cholly Atkins, who was the choreographer for the Temptations and for the Pips, incredible, incredible mover, like just did a beautiful job like crafting all of these wonderful pieces. And so I give him credit every time I can for those Temptations pieces and the Pips pieces.
So for those who didn't understand that whole reference, Hardee's had a, I think it was Hardee's.
It was just like the Raisin Council.
Was it the Raisin brand?
Yeah, it was just
maybe?
Like the Raisin like brand. They right. were trying to upsell or was it, raisins.
Or was it raisins or Raisin brand?
Yeah.
I thought it was anyhow. Yeah. They dressed all these raisins up and we heard it through the grapevine, which was appropriate because it was very clever.
Late 80s.
It was clever.
Yeah, it was clever.
I heard it through the grapevine. Duh. Raisins are grapes, basically, a little shriveled up, a little aged, kind of like us, dehydrated,
dehydrated.
Just, getting up there.
Okay.
Yeah.
that was
a classic. Actually, I have one of those little raisin things that are...
I probably do somewhere, too.
Little figures that you have their hands...
Yeah, you could shape
them. Yeah, you could shape them, and you could, like, you grip them. I think mine's still gripped onto the microwave. It's just holding on to the microwave the whole time, so heard it through the grapevine. But so you take some of that. So how much does the Rock and Roll Revival influence what you do in the spring play, if any?
A lot, because if we have rock and roll, we lose rehearsal time. So I usually try to pick something a little bit easier on years that we have Rock and Roll Revival,
take something from the revival, any of the songs or ideas or anything like that, and go, you know what would be cool now? If we now he said, hey, let's put on this performance because we could use some of those actors or some of those those people in the rock and roll and bring them over? Any of that correlate at all?
No, usually not. I mean, the group of kiddos that does rock and roll is, again, it's a very broad group of kids, which is awesome, and I love it. And there's usually, you know, there's like 100 kids in that, and so I only take from that, you know, 10 to 15 of those kids. And some kids just don't do rock and roll. It's just not their thing. But they still act, or they still do performing in some other way. So there's a little bit of a Venn diagram there, but it's not always there.
No ideas. Nothing's crossing your mind.
Nothing.
Come on.
Nothing
come
yet.
On.
I have nothing.
Okay, you heard, come on. I want to be able to say you heard it here first from Sherry Satchel. Director of the spring play, and now announces the next spring 2026 performance will be...
The excitement. It's going to be...
What is it?
I got nothing. I got nothing. Oh. I had something, and then it's just... There's always different factors that play
nothing.
Into it. Nothing yet. I've got a list of things at
nothing.
Home.
I was going to say, so there is a list.
There is a list. Okay. Oh, yeah, there is a list. There is a list. Just like there's the never-ending rock and roll revival song list that's on my phone. It's probably like 150 songs deep at this point.
Is there anything you would want to tackle, but I won't say you're afraid to do it, but maybe you just don't have the resources or something like that? Is there ever a play or any type of performance or something like that you would like to put on, but for whatever reason you can't, or any time you ever think about something, or is there anything that you like, I'm staying away from that?
I've had this conversation with my friend Bob multiple times. Like, I will never direct a musical. Like, I will stay far away from that forever. Because it just feels like it's a lot of work. Everything's a lot of work, right? But it's just one of those things. I don't feel like my brain gets around as well as I would like it to. And so I kind of avoid that. I tend to stick to more. This year was an exception with Gatsby as far as a serious drama. I tend to stick with more goofy slapstick comedy. I love, love, love that stuff. And I feel like in the spring, it suits our mood a little bit better. So this year was sort of a sidestep from that, because the year before I did Arsenic and Old Lace, which is this fantastic little chestnut, great show, Joseph Kesselring. Like, I love it. I love that show. I was in it in high school. Before that, I did this great adaptation of Midsummer Night's Dream, which was, again, it was really lovely. It was pared down. It used still the Shakespearean language, but it was a little easier to digest and memorize. So I tend to stick with things that are more on the light side. So I'll probably be looking for something more on the light side.
Right.
There's this really wonderful adaptation of Candide, which, again, is one of my favorite books. I love Candide. But looking at it again, it's like oftentimes I get to a point where I'm like, oh, I really want to do this show, but it's not completely high school appropriate. And that's sort of the thing that usually I run into that wall more than I run into anything else.
When you say high school appropriate, are you saying maybe there are situations or language or something like that for these youth that you feel might be a little bit outside the realm?
For sure.
Okay, because I was going to say, I mean, because they're performing it, but you're doing it to an audience. But at the same time, that's great to hear that too. Yeah. So, you try to keep it kind of light and stuff like that. But don't you have to, come up with something. You can't just have three people. Right? I mean, you can't just have a play that has three people.
I mean, you could. I mean, you could call it Waiting for Godot, and people could wonder about
it. Okay, some people might show up for three nights to watch that, but but if you got 30 people in it, now you got more participants, there's more mom and dad can come see the kids, and your friends and family can come, and there's 30 people up there. So you have to kind of take that in consideration a little bit too, don't you? Is there a minimum or max that is there a minimum amount of characters that you'll go to, or is there a maximum? Do you care?
I used to do a lot smaller shows too. So I used to stick with like 8 to 10 characters in the fall. In the spring. So that, again, smaller group of people, smaller commitment, tighter knit group of kiddos. And that was always really great. I loved that. But then there was the challenge of like, oh, then there's all these kids that aren't getting a chance to be out there. They're not getting a chance to develop that performance muscle in that way. And so I've started to go maybe like a 10 to 15 range for my casts these days. So like this show was 16 kiddos. I had 16 people come out. I cast all 16 of them and found a place for every one of them. And I like the shows that have flexible casting and have the option to add or subtract people based on the number of people that show up. Like for this show, the way it was designed, it could have been done with only 7 people. Mm. So if I had only 7 people showing up, then I would be fine. So there wasn't that concern about it at all. And then I didn't. I had a lot more to show up, and so I just found places for everybody.
So the screenplay itself actually has more characters, but you could still tell the story of the Great Gatsby with the main characters and move on.
Yep, and doubling. Well, it would have been doubling, so it would have been people. And there were a lot of people who were doubled anyway, so it just they would have been even more doubled in that situation.
Yeah. So what, other than going to, you know, baseball games in the summertime and enjoying the beautiful sunshine, what does Sherry do between now and, well, like you said, you're kind of helping a little with the rock and roll.
Yeah.
But not as much as normal. So, I mean, you got till next February. What are you doing?
I've actually got a lot of stuff on deck coming up. I have my classes for my organization, Big Woods Movement Collective, where I'm the executive artistic director and sole employee. I have classes coming up for that. So I'm teaching ballet and yoga this summer. So I'll be getting ready for that. My organization also puts on a festival in the summer, so I'm getting ready for that. We do a one day, it was 2 days, but we're paring it down to one day. We're doing 1 day movement and music festival on July 12th over at the Depot, which I'm really excited about. So I've got a lot of people coming in to play music and to dance, and we're going to do a swing dance, which I'm really excited about. We haven't done that before, so a little swing dance over at the Depot. And so
are you educating people on swing, or are you just, you're actually just going to get up and perform?
We're going to be, it's a whole group dance, so people can come and just social dance in this beautiful space. So if people want to learn how to swing, I got the basics in my pocket at all times, so I'm always happy to help with that. But I've got that, and then I have this big project that I actually got a grant for this year that I am working on. And when people were like, what are you going to do when you don't have rock and roll? And I was like, well, I have a lot of other things that happen in my life besides rock and roll, and I just want to do something really weird and off the wall. So I wrote a grant for a weird and off the wall dance that I'm going to be creating with a group of 10 dancers, and I have a composer, Sam Dwyer, is on board to help me create some music for it. And so we're creating movement based on the Mary Oliver poem Wild Geese, and the first line of it is you do not have to be good. And so I'm kind of excited to explore that in just a different, instead of sitting down with my notebook writing everything out and being ready to go in with people and kind of being the head of the class at all times, it's going to be just co-creating with a lot of really creative and
individuals. Is this with the Big Woods deal?
It is kind of with the Big Woods deal, but it's more that it's an individual artist grant that I received from CMAC, so Southeastern Minnesota.
So
Arts
you just
Council.
Do this at the in your backyard?
No, we're doing it. We're going to be performing it at the Arts Guild Theater in September. Okay. And we're using the guild space, the studio space that I teach out of for our rehearsal process. So, yeah, it's that's kind of a big deal. It's coming up. It's my next step on my creative
adventure. Is that before or after July 12th?
That'll be after. Yeah,
so then,
after.
So you're still, have you started that program yet?
Nope, that'll be next Saturday. Actually, a week from today, I will be up there right now starting that rehearsal. So,
for the 12th?
Yeah.
And September?
And September, yeah.
All of it, kind of. All right.
Yeah.
Right now, you're making me tired.
Never a dull moment.
Apparently not.
And well, I still got to pick up the dry cleaning.
Today?
No, on Tuesday.
Tuesday. Oh, from the Great Gatsby.
Things,
gotcha.
Yeah,
Gatsby. You don't. Oh, that's not your own repertoire. That's not in your closet. You don't have all that stuff just hanging there.
I do have a deep closet.
Well, Sherry, again, thank you. Well, let's rate it. Okay. What do you think? Overall, attendance, performance, just kind of how it flowed, stress factor involved, everything. How'd you like the Great Gatsby in 2025?
I'd say it was a 5 out of 5. I go on a 5-star scale. I'd say it was 5 out of 5 for a lot of those aspects. Yeah, I'd say we had really great attendance, which always makes me happy. Everything flowed really well. I feel like the place they started from and the place they got to, which is usually how I rate my my performances, is like, it was amazing. It was amazing. Like from the time you and I talked to closing night, it was just, it was crazy how much it
kind of night and day.
Very, very night and day, you know, and a lot of kiddos on stage who hadn't really been on stage before, which I love. Getting people involved from all different parts of the high school community so that they can have that theater experience to go out into the world with, I think is invaluable. Yeah.
Very nice. Yeah. Very nice. Yeah. All right, Sherry. Well, thank you so much for coming back in.
Yeah, thank you.
You're not getting any sunshine sitting in here. So
I'm going to get out there and get to my Saints game tonight.
I'm getting you out of here so you can get a little vitamin D going so you can, like, because you need way more energy.
Oh, I definitely.
You're kind of subdued today.
I'm subdued. That's how I'm known around town. Yeah, very subdued.
Sherry's subdued satchel. Yes, that's right. Totally. The subdued one. The triple S.
Yes.
Well, thank you.
Brilliant. Thank you so much.
Congratulations. Good luck.
Yeah, thank you.
We'll see you again in the winter. So get your information, the new gal for the fall.
Yeah, for sure.
I want to talk to her before it happens, preferably.
Absolutely.
And talk a little bit more about, all the participants and the kids and everything being able to be a part of that.
Yeah,
so
she's got auditions this week, so she'll have information already for you.
Okay, well.
Get her done.
We need more info on that. Who's got that? Where do we go? How do we do that? You don't know.
I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. She needs to call us.
Yeah, for sure.
All right. Call the KYMN studios. What was her name?
Kat Middledorp.
Call us. We need to find out what's going on with these auditions. I might even try out. I don't know. Is that a high school play?
High school play.
Ah, crap. All right. I don't think I'll pass. Okay. Thank you, Sherry.
Thank you. Take care.
All right. We'll be back with more of the Raider Wrap coming up here on AM 1080, 95.1 The One.
This is Paul Ryland with Johnson Ryland Builders and Remodelers. Many of you in the listening audience live in the Cannon Falls area, or you have friends and family over there. I want to take a moment to share with you about Hardwood Estates, a new housing development just south of the high school. Single family and twin homes being built currently with some of the best land values around. Call us today or go visit the site and see an exciting new neighborhood that's got everyone talking. Hit our website today, jrbr.builders, Johnson Ryland Builders and Remodelers, where custom homes meet your budget and your dreams.
Hi, I'm Adam Steffel, president of NCC Builders. Is your kitchen feeling cramped? Is your bathroom outdated? Or maybe your basement is just wasted space? At NCC Builders, we specialize in transforming homes to meet your needs, whether it's upgrading your kitchen, turning your bathroom into a spa-like retreat, or converting your basement into a functional living space. We're here to bring your vision to life. Let's start planning your remodel or new build today. NCC Builders, transforming homes and building dreams. Visit nccbuilders.com.
It's time to tackle your next business milestone, and no matter how big or small, Merchants Bank can get you there. Since 1875, they've helped businesses adapt, grow, and thrive. Today, their full-size suite of commercial services offers solutions for businesses of any size. So you benefit from working with a community bank while taking advantage of their specialized expertise in treasury management, equipment finance, and wealth. Find out why they're the financial partner you need. Merchants Bank, fulfilling dreams since 1875. Subject to approval.
When rainwater rushes off roofs and driveways, it can lead to flooding and send pollutants straight into our rivers. You can help prevent environmental and structural catastrophe with your garden. Rain gardens help manage stormwater by capturing runoff, filtering out pollutants, and allowing clean water to soak into the ground. The City of Northfield's Rain Garden Rebate Program offers homeowners a 50% reimbursement up to $250 for the costs of building a rain garden. It's easy to apply. Install a rain garden, take a photo, and submit your application form online with receipts and photos. Help keep our rivers clean, reduce flooding, and beautify your yard. Learn more and apply today at northfieldmn.gov/rebates.
This is Matt Hillman, superintendent of the Northfield Public Schools. Join me on the morning show on the second and fourth Tuesdays each month as I share a report about the school board meeting and other great things happening in the Northfield Public Schools. Tune into KYMN Radio or stream it on kymnradio.net.
Hey, welcome back to the Raider Wrap here on KYMN 95.1 The One and AM 1080. Thank you, Sherry, for coming into the program this morning, talking about The Great Gatsby and, of course, the Rock and Roll Revival, along with the fall play, which we're going to try to get that new director in here sometime, hopefully in the next couple of weeks, maybe talk a little bit, because the auditions are already going on. So hopefully we'll be able to get some more information with that, get them on the program, talk a little bit about how maybe people can participate in that and be a part of that program as well. It is a high school performance, so it's for the high school students to participate in. It is not your typical community theater or the Arts Guild or anything like that. It's specific to the high school. So we'll hopefully, like I said, try to get that figured out. So we did have a chance to maybe stop in and have a conversation with a couple of twins, so the old Johnson & Johnson twins. We're not talking about the baby powder. We are talking about the golfers. They are actually, the two Johnsons are on the golf team, sisters, who share a little bit of the old fairway together. Liz Campbell was able to catch up with them and talk to them this week on this week's Raider Wrap and Meet the Raider.
Hello and good morning, Raider Nation, and welcome back to Meet the Raider. I am your host, Liz Campbell, and today in the studio we have Annika and Karina Johnson, and they are girls golfers. Welcome in today, girls.
Thank you for having us. Yeah.
Yes, of course. So can you guys just recap what practice yesterday on Friday looked like?
We had our end of season team tourney, so we got like paired up together and we played a best ball with a few different holes that we had to do different like challenges on, like hit drive around one hole, the entire hole. We hit a wiffle ball on one hole, and then another hole we had to choose a club that we played the entire hole with. So it was a lot of fun.
Thanks, Karina. Yeah.
It was really fun. It was the JV's last practice, so it was a fun way to end the year for them and like kind of team bonding too, because you're on a team with other people, which usually you're by yourself. It accumulates into a team total, but this is more of working together.
Yeah, so like teamworky stuff.
Yes, teamwork.
Getting the JV off into the summer on a good note and kind of having a relaxed practice before sections for the varsity.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome. So you guys said it was the last JV practice because you are heading into sections next week. What are you guys feeling about sections? How are you guys looking as a team for sections? Are you nervous? Are you excited?
I think for the team, we do have a chance, but it's going to be a little bit tougher this year than it was last year. But yeah, I think we definitely have a chance. We just have to play golf good, I guess, mm-hmm. and just have fun and stay positive. Can't get negative if we're like down or anything.
Yeah, just having a good mindset.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, like Karina said, just keeping playing golf how we have been all year, and that should give us a pretty good chance as long as we don't treat this too much different than a normal tournament or mm-hmm. a normal day of golf. We should be okay. So yeah, we should do pretty well there. Just got to play how we normally play and think of it as just another tournament.
Yeah, not get too stressed out or worked up about it.
Mm-hmm.
And you said if you play like you have been playing this season, you should do pretty well. Mm-hmm. Can you guys just recap how the team has been scoring and doing at meets this year? Like, just go over a few like highlights, maybe lowlights, just like so we can see the trajectory of like the highs and lows of the season.
Yeah, so a couple weeks ago, we were down in Owatonna and we played a triangular against them and Mayo. That was, I think, our worst day this season. The team did not good. We all kind of struggled a little bit because it's a really tough course. But yesterday, we played our conference round there and we shot like 20 strokes better or something. So we really improved as a team, and that was a good way of showing our improvement and helping boost our confidence going into sections.
Yeah, I'd add on to that. Four of our golfers did a practice round there, and it shows the dedication that we have. We took a few hours out of our weekend and took a trip down there, took some notes, practiced, and really just got prepared for yesterday's match. And we were much more prepared this time. Like she said, we shot 20 strokes better. We just had more confidence. We were more comfortable with it, and we had mm-hmm. seen the course before, so it was kind of familiar to us, and that really helped us to do better.
Yeah, so you guys have had some highs and lows, but coming up on this last week, you did really well,
mm-hmm.
and you're feeling good going into sections.
Yes.
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Shifting to a little bit more of a personal aspect, you two are sisters, you're twins, so you guys have kind of been golfing together and doing everything together, mm-hmm. basically, since you were born.
Yeah.
So did you guys get into golf at different times? Did you get in at the same time? Like, what did that look like for you guys?
We got into it at the same time. I'd say we also got more dedicated at the same time. We've kind of been golfing for most of our lives, not super dedicated until sixth grade year, but our grandpa got us involved in it. Our parents have golfed before, and we've stuck with it. Been on the team since seventh grade, and sad to see. It's our second to last season. It's gone by really quickly.
Yeah, we got into it at like the same time, and like she said, we did get more dedicated to it at the same time, and it's fun to see like us improve, and we're able to like compete against each other in like meets and even just practice, and it really helps us to get better ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's just like constant comparison, which is probably not always the most fun, but when it comes to being a little bit competitive and like wanting to one up your sister, it's helpful because it makes you better.
Yeah,
totally. And why would you say you stuck with golf? Like, was it because of that competitive aspect between the two of you, or was it just because you really enjoyed it? Like, what was really like the determining factor when you kept playing golf?
I just like the challenge of it and pushing myself to get better. And I like the feeling of when I have success, it like keeps me coming back for more. And like when I do well, or if I play a hole poorly and I know that if I played that hole differently and did better on it, I could have shot whatever score and it would have been better. And it just keeps me coming back with the mistakes that I make. Mm-hmm. I just want to improve and always am finding ways to get better and tighten up my game.
I think it's both, like Annika said, because it is fun to be like competitive with each other and see each other get better. And it's also just a fun summer sport that you get to spend time outside instead of just sitting inside sad and watching
lots
TV.
Of physical activity, you walk several miles.
Yeah, good physical activity. You get tan, so.
Yeah. So it's just like a fun, it's kind of like a lifelong sport too.
Yes,
like you
is.
Can learn early and just keep going with it the rest of your life.
Mm-hmm.
So heading into sections and possibly state in the next couple weeks, do you guys have any like big goals for the end of this season that you haven't achieved yet? It could be like individual or team goals.
For the team, I really want us to go to state. I think that we do have a good chance at it. It's just going to take some work and
dedication.
Yes. Yeah. And then individually, I also want to make it, if the team doesn't go, I want to do well and make it to state myself. And I just want to go experience state again. It was a lot of fun last year and I want to do better this year.
Yeah, I'd say if we do make it to state, it's as a team, it's kind of just a have fun thing because it's very difficult to make it there as a team. Only one team advances per section.
Mm-hmm.
So once we, if we get there as a team, it'll be more of just a have fun, not super stressful thing.
Mm-hmm.
And if I get there as an individual, I'd say trying to get top 25 and just like build off of the year I had last year. I had a pretty solid year at state last year, so I know I can do better than that. I've been playing better this year, so I'm excited to see where I could place. But I'm also hoping our team, I think we can do top two in the section, so get second or win it. As long as we keep our heads in the game and we think about each shot at a time, we should be okay.
Yeah, definitely. And circling back to what you said, Annika, like keeping your heads in the game is really important in the game of golf. Do you guys have anything that you do to try to keep your heads in the game personally? Like when you're out there golfing and you're not having the greatest day, do you have like a ritual or something to like calm you down a little bit? Or is that kind of something you struggle with?
For me, I'm actually pretty good at keeping my head in the game. Most golfers have a pre-shot routine, which is like just everything you do leading up to the time you actually make contact with the ball. So just sticking to that and like your just steps. Focusing on that routine can like keep you like focused on the next shot instead of thinking about the past. So that really helps me. And then also just forgetting about the bad holes and bad shots. It's really crucial, I feel, and for the mental part of the game, because there's really nothing you can do about the past. You just got to focus on what you have to do now. So that also helps me stay locked in.
For me, I like to give myself like 10 steps to be angry or upset about what I did. I count out my steps, and once I've taken 10 steps, I can't think about it anymore. I have to turn off those negative thoughts. And I also like to do like breathing techniques, like just slowing my breathing down, because sometimes I can notice my heart is pounding or my breathing is really rapid. So I like to think about like how deep of breaths I'm taking, how many breaths I'm taking. And in my pre-shot routine, I like to calculate how many steps I take, like looking at where I want to hit my ball and then walking up to hit my ball. So keeping a routine that I'm comfortable with, so I always have something I'm familiar with. It keeps me grounded and my head in the game.
Yeah. So with like the breathing, you're not just staying like mentally calm. Yeah. You're staying like physically calm.
Yeah. And I can focus on something else other than the potentially bad hole I could have just had.
Yeah.
I'm thinking about my breathing.
Totally. I love that, Annika. Talking about actual golf meets, can you just walk us through what a normal golf meet would look like for you guys? Like, for example, Big Nine yesterday, like you get on the bus, you like just all of the things that go on throughout the day.
So we load the bus at the high school and then we leave. And then once we get to whatever course we're playing at, we unload, we get our bags and carts all set up, and then we go off to the range and hit some balls, warm up our bodies, and then after that we'll go chip and putt just to get used to the greens because they're different at basically every course. And then there's a coaches and player meeting where they go over rules and anything you need to know about the course, like out of bounds or like anything like that, and then they send you off to your tee times.
This year has been good pace of play. It's usually been like 4.5 hours. It can get to 5 hours, so the days can get pretty long. But yeah, it's usually around 4.5 hours, and then usually we have to wait for the rest of our team to come in, so the days can get very long, but it's a lot of fun.
And then we always got to eat after.
Yes. Always got to eat. I love that. And when you say you go off to like your separate tee times, how many girls are usually on like each tee time? Like you just golf with a couple girls at a time, right? And you're sent off in like flights?
Yeah. So it depends on how many teams we're playing with. So if we're playing in a duel, so with like one other team, they'll either pair us up in threesomes or foursomes. And then if we're in a triangular with two other teams, it's threesomes, and then quads or foursomes. And so, yeah, it's usually around 3 to 4 people per tee time on the meet.
They're grouped per seeding, so each team seeds their players. So the one seeds usually go off together, the two seeds usually go off together, so it's kind of organized like that. And ones usually tee off first, and then twos, and so on and so forth, following all the way down. So yeah, usually it's nice to get the ones out, because usually their pace of play is a little faster, so that definitely helps to keep those days short and not super long.
You're paired up with other girls based on how good you are and how well you play golf.
Yes.
So it's like kind of like fair competition, and you can have like a little bit of competition with like the other girls you're teeing off with.
Yes.
That's awesome. Okay, I love that. So like you mentioned earlier, Annika, this is your second to last year of golf. You just have your senior season left. Are you guys looking at playing any sports in college? I know it's really early. We're not even done with sections or state this year. But like looking into the future, I know this summer is kind of like applying to colleges, seeing what you want to do, where you want to go. Is that like even an option you guys are considering?
Yes, we are looking at a couple of schools to where we'd play golf at, but obviously school comes first, so we got to decide based off of that, and then if the golf team works out, we'll join.
Awesome.
Yeah, we have a few schools that we really like. We like academic wise and the golf teams and the facilities and just like the people and coaches in general. So we will be looking to hopefully play golf in college, because I can't think of stopping after next year. It's too short. I want to keep going.
Yeah, that's awesome that you're wanting more instead of saying, oh no, too much golf. You guys also ski in the wintertime. You do alpine skiing. Can you guys tell us a little bit about that? Like what got you into that?
So our dad was kind of like he was a ski racer back when he was in high school, and he's always been a big skier, so is his family, so we've always been involved in that. It's been nice to have a winter sport. Usually we hit golf balls during the winter, so it can get very busy, but we have a winter sport and then a summer, spring, fall sport, so we're busy all year round, which I really appreciate. Like I can't imagine just being stuck inside all winter, not having anything to do, and just wishing I could be out on the course. I actually have another sport I can be doing, which I really like the balance of.
Yeah, adding on to Annika, our dad definitely got us involved in it. He kind of started us out skiing, and then once we were good enough, he was like, oh, do you guys want to try like racing and racing other people and going down this course? And we were like, sure. So then we started, and I guess we've just done it ever since.
Yeah, you just loved it and just kept doing it. Would you guys say that you like skiing and golf equally, or is one of them the favorite?
I like golf a lot more than skiing.
Yes.
I'm just better at it, I think, so that makes it more fun for me.
Yeah.
But also, I don't know, golf is just so much fun to me, and it's like a sport I can do literally all season, all year.
Most of the year,
I hit inside in the winter all the time.
I could do it all year.
What would you say, Annika? Karina says golf is her favorite. Would you agree?
Yes, I would agree. I like spring and summertime definitely better than negative degree weather, very cold. I like both sports, but I'd have to go with golf. There's something about it I just like a lot more than skiing.
Just more passion for golf than there is for skiing. Okay. Looking into like the summer and like fall and next winter, preparing for your senior golf season. Again, I know it's really early. Yeah. We're talking about this early. But do you guys do anything personally to prepare for the season?
We have a swing coach out in
Hudson area.
Yeah, Hudson area. Brent Snyder. We go to him a couple times a month. And we also do like group stuff out there, which is a lot of fun because you get to meet new golfers out there. And it's fun to like have recognizable faces when you're playing in high school tournaments. So we go to him all year long. And then in the summertime, we do a lot of tournaments, like Junior PGA and MGA and USGA. We do like a lot of different tournaments in the summertime that like keep the competition, lets us keep competing in the summer. And yeah. then fall and winter, basically just practice. There isn't really many tournaments that you can play in, obviously.
Unless you travel somewhere.
Yeah, and then we also have a golf simulator in our house, which we hit golf balls on all winter long. And
the golf course has one too, which is nice for other girls to go there and hit some balls and play. Mm-hmm.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that's what I got.
Yeah, so even when like the course isn't really playable in the fall and winter time, there are opportunities to get better and keep practicing and things.
Yes.
Okay, that's awesome. It seems like, I mean, I'm friends with you guys, so I know you put in a lot of work in the off season for golfing, even when you are busy skiing and doing school. So that's really impressive that you guys are very, very committed to it. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, good luck at sections next week, girls. I hope you can beat Owatonna and go to state. I know you will.
Yes. Thank you.
Thank you. Yes.
And thank you, KYMN fans, for listening. If you missed part of this interview live or would like to listen to it again, head to our website, kymnradio.net. I am Liz Campbell, and I am your host on this week's Meet the Raider on this week's Raider Wrap. Keep tuning in for more sports this week on KYMN 95.1.
Every day, each and every one of us at Benjamin Bus feels privileged to safely transport Northfield students to and from school and many after-school activities. We thank you for trusting Benjamin Bus with your most precious cargo, your children. At Benjamin Bus, safety is always our number one priority. Our team of drivers has over 400 years of combined experience, and they pride themselves on their record of keeping the children of this community safe. We at Benjamin Bus are proud of the accomplishments of the Northfield Raiders and wish all of the Raider student-athletes a safe and successful season.
Community banking at its best. Whether you are looking to improve your financial future, planning to buy a new home, or considering a mortgage, Heritage Bank in Northfield can help. Our ability to make decisions locally provides you the highest level of service at competitive rates. Your finances and home are important to you, and having a staff that you can trust makes all the difference. We make banking easy with real estate specialists and loan officers ready to help you. Stop by Heritage Bank on Highway 3 or contact us at heritagebankmn.com and see how the professionals at Heritage Bank can help you build your future.
New years bring new projects, and whether those projects involve graphic design, website creation, or banners for your business, the folks at By All Means Graphics and Graphic Mailbox are here to get your new year off to the right start. Our team will meet you where you are, from creating a concept to fine-tuning the designs that you already have, all with the top-notch service and smiles for which we are celebrated. With two convenient downtown locations, we can create, print, and produce anything from business cards to vinyl decals to signage. Need to ship? Whether it's across town or across the globe, we're the experts. Stop down at By All Means Graphics on Bridge Square or Graphic Mailbox in River Park Mall on Water Street, or go online at byallmeansgraphics.com and graphicmailbox.com. We look forward to helping you make this new year the best year ever.
Looking for your next weekend escape? Discover Cannon Falls, Minnesota. Nestled between the Twin Cities and Rochester, Cannon Falls is your perfect getaway. Featuring scenic bike trails, tubing on the Cannon River, charming shops, and local wines and craft beer. Whether you're craving adventure or a peaceful retreat, it's all here. Come for the day or stay for the weekend. Cannon Falls, Minnesota's hidden gem. Plan your visit today at cannonfalls.org.
95.1, The One. Still a friend you can count on.
Heritage Dental Care in Northfield is a general dental clinic specializing in a variety of dental procedures and services. New patients and emergencies are welcomed 5 days a week. Heritage Dental Care is a proud supporter of Northfield Athletics and wish all of our athletes the best of luck this season. Make an appointment today with Dr. David Bress, Dr. David Buck, or Dr. Michael Thompson. Go Raiders!
Graduation marks an important day in every student's life. It's the end of one chapter and the beginning of a new one. Everyone at Community Resource Bank would like to send a hearty congratulations on a job well done to the graduating class. Congrats, grads from Community Resource Bank. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
95.1, The One. More music, better variety.
The One.
Well, thanks for joining us this morning here on KYMN 95.1 The One and AM 1080.
For those of you listening out there, again, studio at kymnradio.net is our email address. If you'd like to send a question out our way to see if we can research it, find a little answer for you, make something up, or just lie to you. Either way, you can go to studio at kymnradio.net and provide your information directly, and we'll be more than happy to read it, or we'll, of course, screen it on the air before we put it on. But if you want to, send it over. Studio at kymnradio.net. That's any time, day or night, so it doesn't matter. 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. That's correct. If you got a question for anything within the studio, 3 o'clock in the morning, you can't sleep, maybe you've had a couple of toddies, and you're thinking to yourself, what makes sky blue? Well, send your questions or concerns or anything you want to studio at kymnradio.net, and I'm sure we'll come up with some sort of an answer. I was going to say mostly sunny skies today, a high of around 66. Looks like the clouds are rolling in. They say mostly sunny. Meh, we're going to have some overcast skies throughout the rest of the afternoon. It's going to be pretty mild out there, but a high of 66 tonight. Looks like cloudy skies cooling off to 44. Sunshine tomorrow, 71. And then for tomorrow night, mostly clear, cooling off to 46. Beautiful day for Memorial Day. Absolutely day to get out there and just kind of get out and about. And I know a lot of people do treasure the opportunity to do a lot of barbecuing and all kinds of fun stuff. It's kickoff to summer and all that good stuff. But it also is a day of celebration, a day of solitude, a day of gratification of all those people that served and died in the United States military for, you know, all the years and what they helped provide for that. I watched a movie last night with Kevin Bacon, and it said, Taking Chance. It's what it's called. Taking Chance. That's what it's called. Kevin Bacon from 2009. If you haven't seen it, I recommend that you go check it out because it is an amazing movie. Talks about exactly that. Our fallen soldiers, Air Force, Marines, Army, Navy, Coast Guard, National Guard, a little bit of everybody. All the things that they do to sacrifice on the line for your freedoms. So again, happy Memorial Day to all of everyone. A special thank you to all of those that gave